ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 22, The Orbits of the Planets. Beginning with text number 10. Yesha sodasa kala purusho bhagavan mano mayon mayo mrittamayo Deva Pitri Manusya Bhuta Pashu Pakshi Sarishripa Virudam Prapanyapya Yana Shilatvat Sarvamaya Iti Varnayanti. Translation: because the moon is full of all potentialities, it represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon is the predominating deity of everyone's mind. Therefore, the moon of God is called Manomaya. He is also called Anamaya because he gives potency to all herbs and plants, and he is called Amritamaya because he is a source of life for all living entities. The moon pleases the demigods, pitas, human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, and all other living entities. Everyone is satisfied by the presence of the moon. Therefore, the moon is also called Sarva Maya, all-pervading. So this gives very nice description of Chandra, the moon. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananangyana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Savarandhikam Aradanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there's not many purports, so we'll just read and make some comments following in the footsteps of Prahlad Nandaswami yesterday. So here the moon is described as full of all potentialities. Therefore, it represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the moon is the predominating deity of everyone's mind. Just like we see, the moon is never constant. He's always changing, and he moves in a different way than all the other, against the background of the stars and planets, he moves in a different way than everyone else. So we see our mind is also like this, always changing. Sometimes we're in happy mood, sometimes we're in sad mood, sometimes we're in anxiety. Mind is always changing due to the influence of the moon, because the moon is the predominating deity of the mind. So as the moon changes against the background of the stars, and as he shrinks and grows, then also our mind, we see it is never steady. Our mind is very fickle, always changing. Though we cannot understand why we're in anxiety sometimes, without even reason we're just in anxiety, just because of the influence of that moon. Therefore, it's interesting, moon and mind, very similar. Man. He's called Manomai. He's called Anamai, because he gives potency to all herbs and plants. This is also described in Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada discusses this many times, that the moon, he gives, makes all the vegetables and plants become very juicy by his influence. In fact, those who study astrology, they say there's different times to plant, different times to weed. Just like when the moon is growing, waxing moon, then that is a good time to plant. Because as the moon grows, then those plants that you planted, they will also grow with the moon. And that time is not a good time to weed, because you pull out the weed, he'll still come back. But when the moon is shrinking, that time you don't plant. If you do plantation, the plants will also go like that. So it's a good time to weed, because the weeds, they'll not have the potency to grow back. So in this way, so many different influences are there from the moon on herbs and plants. In fact, here it says all life, all living entities. It gives a whole long list. I was thinking, what is this? Deva, Pitri, Manusya, Bhuta, Pashu, Pakshi, Sarisrippa. Sarisrippa is reptiles. And Virudham, all kinds of herbs and plants. So he's... he pleases. It says demigods, the pitas. Human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, all other living entities. Just like everybody always, all the poets, they always write about the moon, and always so many beautiful descriptions of the moon. And everybody is very happy to see the harvest moon of autumn season. We also know that was a season when that full moon of the autumn season appeared. Then Krishna played on his flute and called all the gopis for the rasa dance. So the moon is always very pleasing to everyone. And here it is also Amritamaya. In fact, on that Sarad Purnima in India, all of the temples put a pot of sweet rice on the roof of the temple underneath the full moon of that Sarad Purnima night. They will put a pot of sweet rice there so that the Amrit from the moon will come. And also because Radha and Krishna and gopis are dancing, they will also taste this sweet rice. In fact, somehow every year I manage to collect some donations, and we last year I think we had 200, we made sweet rice from 200 liters of milk. We make sweet rice and we put all kinds of nice things, cashews and raisins, and then maybe things you don't even know about, puffed lotus seeds. You ever heard of puffed lotus seeds? Yes, most of you know. Some places I go, they'd never heard of such thing. With puffed lotus seeds and saffron, and they have these little beads, little seed-like things called chiranji. They're also nice to put in. We make very, very opulent sweet rice. And because it's a big pot, the temple puts a little pot on top of the roof. We just put it out near the tamal tree, where it's just outside the shadow of the tamal tree, where the moon will come. And then in the next morning, we distribute, after Mangalarti, we distribute to all the devotees. So moon is very interesting. He's always very pleasing. So many, as we said, all the poets always write about the moon in June, and so many things. He's called also Sarvamai, just like we were discussing last night about Chitragupta. There's one assistant of Yamaraj. Chitra means picture and Gupta means secret. That you think, oh, I got away with that. Chitragupta Kachu. But also we know that one of the witnesses of all our activities, we think nobody's watching, but the moon is watching, the sun is watching, the air is watching. So moon is also one of the witnesses, especially of our activities at night. Since we're discussing moon, we'll discuss, actually, we'll tell one interesting pastime that discusses the moon. There's one place in Barsana called Man Mandir, or Mangar. And Man means you take a little bit of anger and pride and crocodile tears and coquettishness, and you mix it all together like artist, and you get Man. When Radharani is upset with Krishna, then she does Man Lila. So this place is called, different from Man. Man is the heart, and Man is my anger or pride. So one time on that particular hill of Barsana, because we know Barsana is incarnation of Lord Brahma, or maybe you don't know, but now you know. So he is, as Brahma has got four heads, this hill has got four peaks, so one of those is Mangar. So Radha and Krishna were there on the full moon night, and Krishna was describing the beauty of Srimati Radhika, and he described that her beauty was just, her complexion was just as beautiful as the full moon. And Radharani became furious. Why? Krishna was comparing her beauty with something so imperfect, like the moon. Moon has got so many spots. Actually, he has 5 faults. So when we're discussing moon, we'll tell you all about the moon. He has pancha dosh, we call 5 faults. First one is kalank. Kalank means stains or spots. Just like sometimes Radharani is complaining that her mother-in-law has always called her kalankini, that her character is questionable, stained character, kalankini. So kalank means spots. Then other is Banke. He's crooked. It's like, you know, Banke Bihari. He's called Banke Bihari because he's crooked. Banke Kai. Kai means he shrinks. We see the moon. He shrinks. Then 4th fault is Nisachar. We have any lady in our community named Nisha? Amongst our life members, we must have one Nisha. Anybody knows the meaning of Nisha? Nishi or Nisha? Night. Nisha means night. So Nisachar. So Achar, just like we come to Mayapur, Vrindavan, Prabhupada wanted us to all come as many times as we can, and for Mayapur, Vrindavan festival, so we could learn a little Vaishnav Achar, behavior. So Nisachar means whose behavior is to come out at night. And whose behavior is to come out at night? Rakshasa. So moon, when does he come? At night. He's also Nisachar, just like Rakshasa. And last fault, this is very interesting, because many times people are asking me about different names for their children they're going to have baby, and they're asking me different names, and I said, don't worry about the name, worry about what people are going to call him. You may make a very beautiful name, just like sometimes they name their children Biswanath or Bishramba or something like that. So then everybody calls him Bish. Do you know the meaning of Bish? Poison. Bish means poison. Just like we have a wonderful god sister named Kusha, and she gave a wonderful name to her daughter, Nitya Lila. But instead they call her Nitya, she calls her Nich. Nicha. Nicha means very low class. I said, please, when she comes to Vrindavan, don't call her Nich. You know, people will, you know, when you really want to insult, especially a woman, Nich, you know, then, that's the worst insult. So anyway, another 5th fault of the moon is Vishabandhu. Just like, you know, Brahmabandhu means he's the relative of the poison. Because, you know, when they churn the ocean of milk, then first, you know, so many things came out with this Uchesrava and Airavata and the moon also came, and then poison also came. Dandatari also came, so many things came. So he's born from the same place as poison, this moon. So he's called Vishabandhu, the relative of poison. These are 5 faults. And so these are the 5 faults of the moon. Kalank, Banke, Kai, Nisachar, and Vishabandhu. And if that wasn't bad enough, the moon, do you know the name of the moon in Sanskrit? Well, that Shashi is one, but another one more common. Chandra. Sounds very much like one of Radharani's competitors. So, for all these reasons, Radharani became furious with Sri Krishna. So she ran away and performed Manlila and hid. And when you hear Krishna's lamentation and separation from Radharani, even the rocks were melting, hearing him lament in Radharani's absence like that. So finally, after some time, then Radharani her anger was, if you go there to Manmandir, you'll see that somehow Lalita and Visakha, they found out Radharani, and you can see the picture, they're placing Radharani's hand into Krishna's hand. Somehow they made them up again. So these are all some interesting facts about the moon. So then, we'll go on to text 11 here. There are many stars located 200,000 yojanas 1,600,000 miles above the moon. By the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are fixed to the wheel of time, and thus they rotate with Mount Sumeru on their right, their motion being different from that of the sun. There are 28 important stars headed by Abhijit. This is one of the problems. We don't have the proper language. Actually, nakshatra doesn't really mean star. It means a type of constellation of stars. So there's 28 nakshatras headed by Abhijit. So purport, the stars referred to herein are 1,600,000 miles above the sun, and thus are 4,000,000 miles above the earth. So they're all fixed. So we see, just like many times you'll see people take a camera and put it on, you know, long duration of exposure, you know, special type of film in that they put long duration. And then you see all the stars are seen to be circling around particular star. Of course, we know that it's the pole star. So they're all fixed. Meanwhile, the sun, he's moving in the opposite direction through all of those stars. Or at least he's moving in a different, because he's moving from one house in the zodiac to the next, like that. So he's moving in his own way. Some 1,600,000 miles above this group of stars is the planet Venus, which moves at almost exactly the same pace as the sun, according to swift, slow, and moderate movements. Sometimes Venus moves behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, sometimes along with it. Venus nullifies the influence of planets that are obstacles to rainfall. Consequently, its presence causes rainfall and is therefore considered very favorable for all living beings within the universe. This has been accepted by learned scholars. So we see Venus is one of very interesting, because sometimes we see, I think right now he's the evening star, sometimes he's a moving morning star, because he doesn't move like everybody else, because they call star, but it's planet, or graha. So he moves sometimes along with the sun, sometimes behind the sun, sometimes in front. He moves in a very, very interesting orbit. Here Prabhupada explains that he also has, as the moon also has its effect on rainfall, the Venus also has his effect on rainfall. And Venus, he's also, in astrology, he also represents affairs of the heart. You know, that when they see that your Venus is in a certain place, and they said, for sure you'll get married at that time, you know. Or at least you'll be, that a tendency for some union will be there. Like that. So Venus, he has all, and therefore he's called Shukra. And he's also, although he's very beautiful, he's also the guru of all the daityas, as Brihaspati, Jupiter, the other bright planet in the sky. He's the guru of all the devas, and Shukracharya is the guru of all the daityas. Mercury is described to be similar to Venus in that it moves sometimes behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, and sometimes along with it. It is 1,600,000 miles above Venus, or 7,200,000 miles above the Earth. Mercury, which is the sun, which is the sun, S-O-N, of the moon, is almost always very auspicious for the inhabitants of the universe. But when it does not move along with the sun, it forebodes cyclones, dust, irregular rainfall, waterless clouds. In this way, it creates fearful conditions due to inadequate or excessive rainfall. So here we have Venus. Just like Venus, Mercury also has a very interesting orbit. He also represents the intelligence in astrology. So, but when sometimes he's in front of the sun, sometimes he's with the sun, sometimes he's behind the sun, he also moves back and forth. When he's right in front, very close, then everything becomes, intelligence becomes combust. Therefore, we see that only a few times a year he's in a good position. Every see mass, most people are not so intelligent. We see in the Varnashram system, the Brahmins are, you know, it's like a pyramid. You know, you have very few Brahmins, then comes down, and Sudras is great. So, and here's also, all of these things have some influence on the rain. And if he's not in a favorable position, then we have cyclones, irregular rainfall. I wonder if he causes, maybe somebody can do a study, maybe he causes oil leaks and things like that also. Anyway, he's always, he can do very good things, and he can also create all kinds of havoc. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Mercury, or 8,800,000 miles above the Earth, is the planet Mars. If this planet does not travel in a crooked way, it crosses through each sign of the zodiac in 3 fortnights. In this way travels throughout all 12, one after another. It almost always creates unfavorable conditions in respect to rainfall and other influences. So Mars is another, you know, he's the god of war, we consider Mars. So, and sometimes he describes, he travels in a crooked way, but otherwise he's moving through each sign of the zodiac in 3 fortnights. And he travels through the all, sometimes he moves backwards and he goes a little crooked. He's a very strange character. The red planet, they call. And that you can see when sometimes Mars is in the sky, you can see he's a little bit reddish. Therefore, he rules over blood and so many things. I think he must have a very bad Mars, because Mars rules over the blood, and malaria is a disease of the blood. So I must have gone through a very bad Mars period or something, because I was getting malaria all the time. Now I haven't had for quite some time. But see, he's also another interesting. Of course, none of the scientists believe in all these different influences of these planets, but practically we can see it is going on. And practically everything they say is complete speculation also. They're always changing their view. Just like we're reading this, sometimes devotees get doubts or reading all these different things. And as Prabhupada explained, sometimes to translate these things into English is very difficult. But even the mundane scientists, they appreciate, I can't remember who's this, the one big famous, maybe it was him, Carl Sagan, he said that, you know, that this is, the Veda is the only scripture that talks about such huge, enormous distances, saying the universe is 4 billion. Of course, the scientists, they believe it's much more, but there's no other scripture talks about, and we have no idea what, when it's saying 4 billion, you know, because our language and one of the problems with Vedic astronomy is mostly they were interested in astrology. So all of those astrological sciences have come down, but the astronomical science has been sort of left off. So I know our late god brother Sataputta, he was doing all kinds of research into all these things, and he probably understands. I have no idea how to understand all these things, but somehow by reading the holy words of Bhagavatam, we're becoming purified. And anyway, this is not any more far-fetched than the speculation of the scientists. They've come up because of their quantum mechanics, because ultimately everything in science, there's no such thing as science, it's all probabilities. And when you get into quantum mechanics, and at a certain event could probably cause so many different reactions. So they've come up with this idea of parallel universes, that actually there's so many parallel universes that when a certain event happens in a universe, then another universe branches off, and the reaction goes in that way, and then another universe goes in that way, and then there's unlimited parallel universes going on. And I mean, is that any more far-fetched than hearing all these numbers? And, you know, they have no idea what's going on. Even now, the scientists, they've seen or they've supposedly seen by their telescopes and so many things, is sometimes there's a big quantity of nebulas and galaxies in a certain place. And actually Einstein, way long time ago, he predicted that light would bend. And so they're finding, they're seeing funny things and they can't figure it out. And they've understood now that the light, because of all those heavy objects in one spot, it's bending the light. So what they're seeing is different than the actual reality. So who knows what's going on out there? They're talking about millions of miles, and even Bhagavatam talking about 4 billion miles. What can happen in 4 billion miles? We can fly around the earth. That's, 10,000-20,000 miles or something. You know, what these distances, supposedly they're going to outer space, but still that's just another, we're talking about millions and millions, billion, 4 billion miles. Who can even begin to imagine 4 billion miles and what can happen? And ultimately we know this whole place is illusion. First of all, we're thinking we're this body, we're under illusion. So, and this body is always changing. And we see that even an ordinary, you go to the circus, they have one tent where you walk inside and suddenly you see that you're very fat and short, and another one you're very tall and skinny, and another one, your head is missing, and, So who knows what Krishna is doing in this, this universe is so vast and it's ultimately meant to bewilder everybody. So who knows what Krishna is doing? So we have no idea what these scientists come up with all of their ideas, and who knows what's really going on? Nobody's really been there to see what's really going on. They spent billions of dollars to go to the moon planet. They came back with some rocks, but we can get rocks and go outside and pick up some rocks. What was the use of spending? Now they're spending, $8 billion to build this crazy machine in France or somewhere, it's France and Switzerland border. What do they call it? The Large Hadron Collider. They're looking, what do they call it? The God particle. Even they, in their own terminology, they're trying to find out the beginning of the universe. So ultimately they have to use it as their own terminology, the God particle. There's something that started everything that they call this the God particle. But 8 billion people are starving all over the planet. And they're spending $8 billion and the stupid thing malfunctioned already. And, if they find some, previously they thought the smallest thing was the cell, within the cell they found out so many incredible things. There's this incredible chains of DNA and RNA, and they're all, this is billions and billions of bytes of information. It's all combined together, with a very tiny fraction. You consider, how Microsoft is making all their programs with, hardly the same amount of information is contained in a little string of DNA, and yet every Tuesday, you get update. They call it Update Tuesday. The big update comes because they've made something wrong somewhere, But so it's all combined together, and there's so many things going on. And if you get into this cellular biology, there's so many things going on, and how it replicates and little things come and pull it apart and then put it back together because it's all twisted, so it has to get, to replicate itself. And all these things are going on. And then they thought, the smallest thing was the atom, and now they have this, now they call it, even their language is funny. They call it the subatomic zoo. They've discovered, beta particles, alpha particles, and this thing and that thing. They spent $8 billion just to find another animal for their subatomic zoo. So, they're coming up with all these crazy things that who knows? Anybody's ever seen a neutron or electron or a proton? All we're seeing is they see some effect, and ultimately they can't tell us what's actually happening. Because ultimately they always talk about probabilities. Just like we know, if we flip a coin, then 50% of the time it'll come heads, 50% of the time it'll come tails, more or less. Sometimes you'll get, 49 and 51. Sometimes you'll get 52 and 49 and 48. But when you average it all out, it'll come up 50 times. But one particular flip, you cannot say whether it will come. They can only talk about probabilities. So one scientist, ultimately, what our theory amounts to is something unknown is doing we know not what. So if Bhagavatam is saying all these things that, you know, is beyond our so-called, you know, according to the so-called scientific knowledge of today, but I mean, their knowledge is always changing and everything is always changing. So we just have to read all these things we may not understand, but by reading the holy words of Bhagavatam, we'll become purified. And when we go back to home, back to Godhead, maybe we'll understand all these things. But just the sound of every word, Prabhupada, I personally received that letter. Prabhupada said, if they just touch our books, Prabhupada wrote me that letter, if they just touch our books, they'll be benefited. So every word, Prabhupada also said, every word of these books will... So we may not understand all these things, and because we grew up... I mean, I saw one time, practical example, we were... somewhere we were riding on one of Hansa Dutta's buses in India somewhere. We were going from Vrindavan to Delhi. We got caught a ride on his bus. And we stopped someplace to have a picnic. And so then we were exchanging Prabhupada's stories, and then one time they told the story of how one time Shyam Sundar, who was just here the other day as a matter of fact, he arranged for a helicopter to take Prabhupada from the airport to the manor, because you know it's very congested to get through the London traffic. And of course Prabhupada was furious that they wasted so much money for this thing. So just by the mention of helicopter, suddenly we all went off on this big tangent. Well, now they got these vertical takeoff aircraft, and they got this one that goes like this. But they got this other one. And we just launched off into this whole discussion of vertical takeoff, liftoff aircraft, you know. And I saw that this is just our nature. We've been so programmed with all this scientific garbage, you know. You just say the right word, and then we can go off on a whole tangent. We're talking Prabhupada's Leela, and all of a sudden we're talking about vertical lift-off aircraft. Who cares about it? And I saw, like, the Brishbasis, you know. You just say the right word, and they will go on telling you stories and stories about Krishna, you know. It's just that is their programming, that they've, from their grandmother, from their mother, from their father, from their guru, they've heard all these stories about Krishna, and you just say some word. Just like we said moon, you know. We went off in so many pastimes of Krishna and the moon, and, you know, the Brishbasis are like that. You just say something right, and then all of a sudden they can tell you so many stories, and just... because that is their programming. And ourselves, you say the right word, and choo, we go off. And iPad, all this stuff, Kindle. We can go on and on forever, all these things. So, looks like I think time is up, huh? So, there's some question?
And this was the basis of Sariputra's explanation of this sort of seemingly difficult to understand section, is that there's the plane of Bhumandala, and then we're talking about distances above that plane. Mm. We're not talking about linear distance, and therefore we get confused. We're talking about distances above the plane of Bhumandala. So therefore one planet is above the other one by that much, and then like that, above the plane of Bhumandala. And therefore it may seem that it's saying that this planet is farther away from the Earth, but it's not saying that it's farther away. It's saying that it's higher above the plane of Bhumandala. Sariputta and the BI, they made a nice interactive CD on this section. If anybody who's not seen it, I have a copy of the BBT. It explains very clearly what's being discussed here. And these islands are ring islands. They're not island like Jamaica or, you know, St. Lucia. There is the, Jambudvipa in the middle, and then the next dvipa is a circle around that with an ocean between them. And you keep going out like that. So it's very clearly explained in that CD. Anybody who's having difficulty understanding just by reading it, take a look at that CD. It's very clearly explained.
Yeah, I remember one devotee who was working on the project. He explained to me that the sun is huge, so its distance from the bottom of the sun to Bhumandala is very short distance. But the moon is very small, so its distance. But if you want to measure from Bharat Varsh to the sun is much farther away, and the moon is much closer. So all these things are there. I mean, sure, there's all explanations, but it's beyond me. I can just read these things and become purified by reading them.
So just in that regard, the moon is supposed to be twice as big as the sun.
Is it? I thought it was the other way around.
We read that. The moon is twice as big as the sun. Mm. I mean, as you mentioned, even Sataputra, he can come up with so many explanations, but it doesn't really mean that we're going to understand it so easily from our point of view. If we try to satisfy our imperfect perceptions by explanations, then our explanations are probably more likely to be imperfect. Mm. In other words, we shouldn't try to worry so much about I have to see the Bhagavatam, or my explanation has to correspond to exactly how I see things, because I don't see things properly. So the explanation that tries to do that is probably just a twist of reality.
So if there's no other questions, then we can all fall down to the very... Yes? But somehow he does it effortlessly. Look, he's got less gray hairs than me. You know, he's got such responsibility. I was just thinking this morning, look at this. I'm just taking people on Prickerman. I have so many. He has so big responsibilities, BBT, LA Temple. And can't even imagine, you know. Anyway, we can all fall at the soft and wonderful lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who's giving us this transcendental astronomy. Srila Prabhupada ki.